This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. You like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio Station 1.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show with your host, Marcia McMahon, this evening. It's been a very long while since I've aired the show, The Peaceful Planet, and I'm very grateful to Don and Doug Newsom for holding my place while I was ill temporarily this summer, and then I went on spiritual pilgrimage to Great Britain. And we thank you for joining us tonight as I've prepared a wonderful program for our listening audience. And the topic of this evening's show is a blending of numerous things that I experienced on my trip, which I'm going to give as a prelude to Catherine Congorno's appearance this evening. But basically, as many of you know, I'm an angel channel, and I work with Archangel Michael as well as Princess Diana. And the topic of the evening is the crop circles, the ley lines, and the sacred sites. So while I was away in Great Britain about 2 weeks, I had a marvelous time, and I followed the energy and went on a holy pilgrimage like the medieval people used to do. They used to follow all the holy shrines around, and that's exactly what we ended up doing with my friend and I. And it was just an awesome experience. And since I'm sensitive to the energies, of course, I felt the presence of Archangel Michael, Mother Mary, Princess Diana, and Mary Magdalene, all of whom their messages will be shared this evening on the show. So I'm trying to convey to you some of the experiences that I had in Cornwall, particularly. So what happened is we were down, first we went, of course, flew into London and went to Diana's site, which was Kensington Palace, and there's a new monument erected that's a continuous water fountain, and it cycles around, and it seems like all of the divine feminine areas of Britain have wells or water associated with them. And they were once dedicated to the goddess. So again, we find at Kensington, there is a water feature dedicated to Diana. And I'm going to be bringing through a message from Diana in a brief moment, but I'd like to explain the tie-in to the sacred wells, which were all considered sacred in the ancient times before Christianity with the Druids and such, because they either laid along the ley lines or they provided the spring water. And very often they were dedicated to earlier goddesses, and then they were renamed, and churches were erected around them. So it was very interesting because we followed a path from London down to Bath, and of course there's Bath Abbey and the Roman baths, which I've taught in art history many times, and there were many, many sacred wells, which in America you don't seem to see the springs and the wells as much. They're generally covered over, but in England it's very prominent, and there's the site of a lot of divine feminine energy. So then, as we were traveling from Bath, where we were staying a few days, we were going down to the tip of Cornwall called Mare of Zion, a very ancient place where it's thought that Jesus had been traveling with his great-uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, and there's legends surrounding that. And then we were traveling down to Cornwall, planning to visit the Mount St. Michael's area, which is an island unto itself. You have to walk out the causeway, and then you have to climb to get to the old Benedictine Abbey, which is now a private home in Britain. And it was all this energy that I was feeling as I was traveling with my friend in the car 2 weeks ago, as we were literally driving down the same ley line on the highway. Of course, the ley lines in Britain are very big, and they're related to the crop circles. So Catherine is going to talk about the crop circles, and then we're going to have a grand finale message of Archangel Michael illuminating us as to what the tie-in is between the ancient sites of the Stonehenges, the crop circles, which are thought to be created by off-planet or angelic beings of light, the sacred geometry that's encoded in them, the message of the recent crop circle that was sighted at St. Michael's Mount, and you can tune in to this energy this evening by clicking on Station 1, Peaceful Planet, and seeing Catherine's lovely picture there, her book, which is posted, Earth Expressions, and it's all about her crop circles, and then take a look carefully at the crop circles that are detailed there, because there's going to be two readings, one from Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and another one to the bird formation that was seen right in the same general area. And I was going through pictures this weekend, and I noticed that when we got back from hiking Mount St. Michael's area, the abbey and everything, which I didn't plan to do, by the way. I'm very disabled, and I had a very difficult time hiking it, but I managed to hike it. I felt Michael's energy pulling me all the way up. As I was saying, we're traveling down, and I felt this tremendous pull of beautiful energy. And it was the Michael Ley Line that we were traveling on, the A30 highway, if you know Cornwall. And when we arrived at this lady's house, I felt this sacred energy as I walked into her living room, and I asked her about it. She had crystals all over the place, and she was very much a light worker, lovely lady. But I felt like I was sitting on top of the ley line, and I mentioned that to Felicity, and she said, oh, that's because I have this little crystal grid devoted to Mother Mary. So I figured out that the ley lines that we were experiencing, that I was experiencing particularly, were both Archangel Michael's and Mother Mary's, and she had a vortex of energy right in her house. It was just most amazing. So it was physically so beautiful to experience these sacred sites, and I never expected to hike the Mount St. Michael, but my friend did it, and we kind of did it together just a little bit at a time. We decided we have tea, and we wouldn't climb the mount, and then some kind of energy, again, pulled me up. So that's the energy of the ley lines, and ley lines are to be thought of as sacred acupuncture points of the earth. So, you know, in Britain, we have all these sacred sites with mysterious crop circle formations forming around the sacred sites. And we have hinges that go back 5,000, 6,000 years, like Stonehenge and Avebury. And then these mysterious holy sites that all the churches are located on, and these other stone hinges. So it all flows together into kind of a sacred energy, if you could flow with me on this thought. So anyway, we're at this old castle, Rowan, and the walk turned into a hike. We decided we wouldn't walk it, but Archangel Michael nudged me up the whole way. So I got to the rocky precipice. I took pictures, and some of them are posted on my Facebook pages, which is Facebook/Marcia McMahon, M-A-R-C-I-A. And I want to mention, too, that I do soul readings with Archangel Michael and for your divine purpose, and you can reach me at marciadi2002@yahoo.com, and that's spelled marciadi2002@yahoo. My website is Diana Speaks to the World. And so now I'm going to turn to Princess Diana's message before we begin the interview with Catherine. So I visited the Kensington Palace, and Diana had a few things, short remarks to say. So I'm saying here, good evening. And I've heard your call for a session, and Princess Diana is speaking here. Good evening to all listening audience. This is Princess Diana speaking. I'd like to personally thank Marcia for featuring her program this evening and for visiting my fountain in Kensington Palace and for all the good that she's done for me over the years, both on her program, The Peaceful Planet, and in other avenues and venues. I'm very honored that she viewed my fountain and visited all the sacred feminine sites. I'm honored to be on show tonight once again on The Peaceful Planet, as I have graced my presence through Marcia and this program for a long, long time. I urge you to listen to the previous files of the show and hear my voice. I'm extremely proud of your beautiful artwork and your two books, which she has left at the Kensington Palace. It is my hope and wish that the Palace Gift Shop will accept her artwork and my books at this time. I'm extremely proud of my sons, William and Harry, and of course my beautiful daughter-in-law, Catherine, and their beautiful children, George and Charlotte, and the new arrival awaiting them both. I just wanted to say how beautiful the celebrations were for my 20th anniversary in spirit, and how proud I am of my two sons and their beautiful charitable work. Thank you for sharing the divine feminine energies, which I do carry, with us this evening. And a big thank you to Catherine and Marcia for putting on the show. So before we, we're at time, and it's time to feature Catherine Congorno. So we'll wrap it up at the end with Appreciated Angels. So thank you very much for tuning in to this live part of the program, and please enjoy the rest of the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Peaceful Planet. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and I'm having a wonderful show this evening. I've been off air for quite some time due to illness and then due to travel, where I made a sacred journey to England and followed the old pilgrimage paths and explored the sacred divine while in England, and Archangel Michael led me the entire time. So we're really back to be on air this evening, and we have a fantastic guest, Catherine Congorno, and I'd like to thank Doug and Don on BBS for holding my show in place on Saturdays, every other Saturday at Station 1 at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific. I have one or two important announcements. One is that I will be appearing and doing my reading and words of the late Princess Diana to the accompaniment of the harp music at the Midwest Holistic Fair at the Illinois State Fairgrounds coming up in mid-November, the 11th and 12th, along with Nancy Calumet, who will be debuting her first book of poems called Gems. As well, I will be doing angel readings there. And I also want to give great thanks to the great late Bob Murray and James, his son, James Murray, for providing so generously the wonderful music inspired from the half-beats from the other side, John Lennon and George Harrison. And I have a great many things to share with you this this evening, most importantly, the very wonderful guest. Her name is Catherine Crogorno, and her bio is up on the featured guest page for the Peaceful Planet for this Saturday's recording. And she has done some magnificent work on the crop circles. And before we get to Catherine, I just want to mention that we're going to be talking about the ley lines, the energy lines of the planet, the sacred sites, and most importantly, her work with the crop circles. Her book is Earth Expressions, and her website is www.earthexpressions.net. And this is a brief bio of our guest, Catherine Crogorno. Catherine is a crop circle author, star healer, and Reiki master. She is the author of and publisher of Earth Expressions, an artistic exploration of crop circles. The innovative book displays the beautiful geometry at the core, the circle's designs, providing a way to interact with them by tracing and coloring the images, in addition to sharing information and a map of worldwide locations of the crop circles. Catherine has been studying the crop circles for over 10 years and has presented the subject in several local magazines and radio stations to the MUFON Group in St. Louis and Kansas City. You can reach Catherine at www.lightattuned.com, and her email is Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at lightattuned, lightattuned.com. And I want to mention also that I work with Archangel Michael and do readings, and I will be sharing part of Archangel Michael's reading on an awesome crop circle that appeared in May, and Catherine is going to fill us all in about the meaning of the crop circles. I want to also give special thanks to Laura and a Felicity who joined me in climbing Archangel Michael's Mount at the tip of Mara Zion in Great Britain after debate about whether I would actually make it up the mountain. I did. I'm disabled, and I was very proud of my work. So, without further ado, let me introduce Catherine. How are you this evening, Catherine?
Fine, Marcia. Thank you very much. I appreciate being on your show. So I wanted to give a little bit of background about the crop circles because a lot of people in the United States do not know about them. We know that most of the crop circles have appeared in the sacred province of Wiltshire in England, but most people do not know that they have actually been appearing in about 50 countries worldwide, and there are over 7,000 documented in the last 30 or so years. They have been appearing in many different kinds of fields: wheat, canola, soya, corn, rice, barley, rye, oats, pine trees, even flower plantations like in poppies, sugarcane, and many times overnight. Now, some people believe that they are hoaxes or they are man-made, and we do know that some are man-made. But the ones that are not hoaxes and the ones that are of interest to us, in addition to their beauty and their other characteristics and the beautiful sacred geometry, is that they have some characteristics which are distinguish them from the hoaxes. The hoaxed crop circles will have been suffered mechanical action by trampling on by boards and ropes or whatever. But there have been about 15 different characteristics which distinguish the genuine ones, and some of them are as follows. The first of all, the extremely precise and complex lay of the crop against the ground, sometimes in crisscross patterns like weaving of baskets that would be really quite impossible to do overnight, especially in England where it tends to rain a lot. And there's no mud or anything like that around the formations either. Then most importantly are the elongated stems and the blown nodules in the crops, which really man cannot reproduce. This is due apparently to a very high temperature and very quick treatment of the crops to this high temperature when the crop circle is being formed. Which is kind of like a microwave energy, the scientists believe. This cannot be reproduced by humans. We have increased electromagnetic energy in the fields, more than normal. We have an equipment failing to record or in the crops. And we have strange sounds. We have had more than 800, more than 800 spontaneous healings. Then we have strange chemicals being deposited in the field. Some of them are valued over like $1,000 just for an ounce, and they're like, where is this chemical coming from? Pure chemicals. There's also the telepathic communication occurring when formations are formed after a group has meditated on a certain form. There's been a lot of that documentation going on, so we are led to believe that there's a definite communication occurring. Then we have the lights. Many lights, orbs, shafts that are seen before, during, and after the crop circle formation. Those have been documented a lot in the last 20 years.
At night, mainly, Catherine.
Yes, and even during the day or at dusk, they've been filmed. Also increased yield, because some people say, well, what happens after? How long does the crop circle remain? And basically, since they appear in the spring and summer, the farmer will mow it down during the harvest season in the fall, but sometimes the image of the crop circle will remain up to several years afterwards. So there's definitely an energy imprint that remains over time, and that's another interesting condition. And then increased yields in the crop. So these crops that are affected by the formation not necessarily die. In fact, there have been some people have reported up to 30-40% yields of increase in the crops the following years. And then we have the very beautiful silk appearance or the glowing quality to the crop circles that you can observe from the plane. So most of them, you know, you can't appreciate the beauty and the intricacy from the ground. You have to observe them from a certain height, and people are coming in with drones now, which is making it a lot easier and less expensive to explore them. So, you know, we have to thank the wonderful crop circle researchers in the UK and Holland and other Italy and Belgium and other countries, even the Czech Republic. There are beautiful ones are appearing. Germany, we have a lot of wonderful researchers who have spent a lot of time and effort to make them known to the world. They spend a lot of time doing the measurements, doing the lab analysis, sharing them online, sharing publications, articles, research, discussing them. I do want to say one of the best films to look into the crop circles was done by Suzanne Taylor. She produced a wonderful film called What on Earth? And also there's a beautiful film by a Norwegian, Terje Toftenes, spelled T-O-F-T-E-N-E-S. His film is called Crossovers from Another Dimension. These are very comprehensive and well-done films that are very objective and have a lot of interesting information. But actually,
I may ask a question. Wasn't there a beautiful film about the very crop circle that we're going to discuss later online on the Crop Circle Connector on the Mare of Zion, Archangel Michael's Mount Bird Formation near the mountain?
It's a very short video that appears on the Crop Circle Connector site, yes, for that particular one.
It was lovely.
Right.
And I want to mention that you have all the crop circles we're discussing this evening posted with your picture. Brilliant work.
Right.
Catherine.
We're going
to... To our listeners this evening, please go to the BBS Peaceful Planet icon show. It will come up under featured guests. Catherine is our featured guest, and she's gone to the trouble of making a beautiful icon of the images that we'll be discussing later in the show. I just wanted to point that out. Sorry to interrupt. Go back to your topic at hand.
No, yes, thank you. So Crop Circle Connector site in the UK is a great source, because not only do they post the formations appearing, but they post commentaries, articles, and videos that people might have produced capturing these beautiful formations all over the world. Then I also recommend Steve and Karen Alexander's site, Temporary Temples. www.co.uk. They have an amazing array of pictures over decades. They're just gorgeous to look at, you know, go back and admire them.
The geometry is magnificent, just magnificent.
And so then two of the other sites or people who helped me when I was doing my research for my book were actually Andy Thomas, who wrote the book Vital Signs, and then I contacted Nancy Talbot from the BLT Research Company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, before I even started my book, and she was very helpful as well. So there are a lot of sources of information. But so what people are going to ask now, well, go right into it, because we don't have a lot of time. We could talk hours and hours about this, is why they're appearing, and the second question is who might be producing them. So we do know, we're pretty sure that we can consider them an interdimensional phenomenon, that there's a communication going on. Some people say, well, it could be between our higher consciousness and our lower consciousness. There's a communication. Mother Earth is involved as well. The reason why 70% of them appear in Wilshire, in that sacred area, pretty much bound between Glastonbury, Avebury, and Stonehenge, is because that area is a kind of like a portal or a planetary chakra, which is connected to a major meridian on the planet. So the energy, and this is, of course, we are theorizing, but we have good reason to believe that this is happening. I mean, the planet has chakras just like we do, and we're talking about energy. Everything is energy, and everything is light, and energy is light. So, and actually, the crop circles we know are formed by both sound and light, and sound organizes matter. So, I mean, there are just many levels to understand this. So I would like to read just a few insights that people have provided, that, because they are more eloquent than me. So a Jungian psychologist, Veronica Goodchild, said, "They are a co-creative form of consciousness. The human psyche is involved, mediating the holy wedding between spirit and matter. Crop circles are an intercultural event, a portal whereby ancient philosophers, alchemists, and mystic ancestors are pouring star healing as gifts to assist in our ascension to a higher reality." The CropCircleSecrets.org site says, "Their purpose is to change the energy grid, which will enable the environment and humanity to overcome the present crisis. There is a new code of understanding being transmitted. It is a blueprint of a new energy coming to the planet." And so Dolores Cannon says she has regressed so many people and brought very interesting information from advanced beings as well. She says that the circle makers, who we know are in general terms, we do know for sure Arcturians, Pleiadians, Sirians, and other starseed light beings from our star families. She says they have a book of symbols, and they want them to come to the planet because when people look at them, it changes their consciousness. The symbols are of peace, light, and love. They are an attempt to communicate with mankind. When people come upon this planet and they see the symbols again, they remember. It's a communication form that they know on a soul level. And then she also, this was a personal note of hers, she had also been told that the purpose of the crop circles is to deliver an entire block of information, which is conveyed to our conscious mind just by observing these symbols. And some of these symbols, like the flower of life, which is contained in many of the crop circles and representing the Merkaba and the consciousness of the universe and the unity consciousness and so forth, they're all, you know, speaking to us. Even if we don't understand them consciously, we are told that we can benefit from just just looking at them, and we don't have to be in the circle. Just observing the symbols are very, very powerful. Robert Perala.
I would have to agree with that statement.
Yes. Robert Perala says, these symbols are not just produced by Mother Earth or by extraterrestrials, but rather by both ETs and angelic realms, which is exactly what Archangel Michael said, have a closer relationship with Mother Earth than we understand. They cooperate on a vast scale.
Don't they, though?
You will learn more of this relationship in the near future as humanity's consciousness aims higher levels of awareness, which is beginning to happen now. The changes are coming. So we know for sure that these are like wake-up calls. We've been told that the planet is ascending to fifth dimension. Humanity is ascending. It's a process. The gifts of the crop circles is to help us accelerate, to increase our consciousness. So you and I, Marcia, would love everybody to look in more into the crop, to learn about them and to enjoy them. So,
precisely.
So one of the ones, there was especially this beautiful one that I'm so grateful, Marcia, that you brought a message through from Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary.
Yes.
About the beautiful Vesica Pisces, which appeared on May 22nd in Dorset. What struck
Yes.
me so much was the fact that you could actually see in the Vesica Pisces lighter shades in the formation that were representing the child Jesus or the Christ consciousness, and the center, the third eye, at the point in the head, and you can see that in the crop circle, and I was just stunned. So do you mind if I quickly read what the message was?
Oh, I'd be honored. This is my message, by the way.
Yes.
And my computer just crashed this evening, as luck would have it, and Catherine helps me edit my messages because I have a hand that's handicapped. So I want to explain the image a minute and go back to that page on BBS where Catherine's bio and her link are, because there's a beautiful image of the Vesica Pisces, which is otherwise, it's a kind of a double circle that interfaces, and it makes a fish, but it also makes a woman. So it's a beautiful image, and if you can locate that, our listeners right now, and Catherine, I would be honored to have you share my message. I wasn't expecting
thank
this.
Thank you, thank you.
So surprise, surprise.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary speak. My beloveds, I have stepped forth today to recognize the sacred feminine enveloped in the Vesica Pisces image located near Wilshire, England. This is my symbol and my image embedded in sacred geometry. As you look, you will notice there is a pregnant woman encased in a pod shape with rays of light radiating out in each direction. It's also encased in the Vesica Pisces symbol of the fish, and that is the name for one of the Gospels, the Vesica Pisces. You will also observe two very perfect orbs coming together, and those also stand for the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine about to emerge in the solstice celebration as well as an eclipse. Observe the light in the center of the forehead, which serves as a reminder of my illumination, and observe the Holy Child within the womb center of the birth of Christ and the Christ consciousness. It is no accident that this crop circle came in 2017 with a further grounding of the energies of the sacred feminine, and it symbolizes both Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene as holders of the sacred flame where we once lived in Glastonbury, England, or Angel Land, as it was once called. Many of you will be exploring this very famous area known as Sacred Avalon and connecting your hearts to the sacred energies that are still existing today. So Marcia, of course, as inquisitive as always and taking advantage of the opportunity, said, thank you, Mary, for explaining the symbolism. Would you mind detailing how the crop circles are made and who is responsible for them? So Mary responds, the crop circles are made by the collective energies of the Ra group and also by the Galactic Federation, as they can form their collective consciousness into a vortex of energy that runs through the fields. And they are tuned to the sacred geometry of the universe. We will continue to visit this error with many more symbols to be deciphered, and we bless you this day and remind you of the need for the sacred masculine to balance the sacred feminine in every sacred and holy relationship, and to ground into the earth with frequent visits in nature. For this is a very turbulent time, and we need each light worker connected to their sacred heart and the heart of the mother, the earth. So while we ground these energies today, let us remember what has come before and also rejoice at what is to come. For the two orbs also symbolize the old earth and the new earth being formed in the womb of the mother. And so it is, and so I bless you for listening today. I am Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary.
Wow, I really appreciate your reading my message. That was perfect. I couldn't get it to print. My computer failed. This is beautiful. Thank you so much. It's a great honor for you to read my message. It's quite a reversal. So, I have to comment on some of the energies that I was feeling in England, but I don't know if you have more to share first. So let me ask you where you're wanting to.
How are we doing with time? I'm trying. I don't know.
I'm going to look on time.
It's 7:40.
We seem to have about 20 minutes left.
Yes. Okay.
So if there's more for you to cover.
Yes. Let me just quickly talk about the Tree of Life formation that's also pictured in the on the BBS station this one appeared on June 16th, but it's like people will recognize it as the representing the Kabbalah Tree of Life, although this symbol is more ancient than the Kabbalah, and it is contained in the Flower of Life, which is a symbol recognized by all religions, and it's the sacred geometry of the universe and our higher consciousness. So what's happening is that many of these crop circles of this year, and especially around this area, May, June, July, all seem to be pointing towards the new beginning, the new creation, the new world,
the new earth,
the product of the womb, the new, and us, the new, the Christ returns is actually our higher consciousness, is the Christ within. And so the new beginning, all of this is about new creative energy, and that's what many of the people who contribute in the Crop Circle Connector share these insights. So about this very one of the Tree of Life, Janos Passos says that date on June 16th coincided with Neptune reaching the maximum point in Pisces before going retrograde. And so he says, this is an exaltation of spirituality and high revelations in our time. At the same time, this crop circle was pointing, the bottom portion of it was pointing at the setting time of the solar eclipse, which would be 2 months later on August 21st. So
yes,
sometimes people, so people look not only at the formation, but they look at where is it placed, what appeared there before, what is around it, and there's all these relationships about the bigger spacing of this crop circle, which also has been suggested that we're only seeing a part of it. We're only seeing a picture. It's like windows within windows, you know, like bigger windows, right? So that was interesting. And so he said this is like representing bringing us back from death to life. And then the third thing he noted is that this formation was very, very similar in that same area near, I think it's called near Bradbury Rings. 3 years earlier, there was a similar formation, also including the Tree of Life and the Flower of Life. So I think that was pretty cool.
Yes. Now, what I noticed and on my spiritual journey, and I was wanting to talk about the actual ley line energy that the crop circles seem to always be laying on the ley lines or very near the ley lines. And the connection in my mind, because I was an art history professor, is about the hinges and whether the relationship of the stone hinges, like I visited Avebury, but I didn't get to Stonehenge. And I wanted to ask you if you felt that there was a, you know, not only the ley lines were involved, but I feel that the ancient people were more in touch with the ley lines, and that's why they built their solar temples and their lunar temples and conducted their ceremonies on the solstice and things of that nature to connect. But why did the crop circles also appear in the same general area? They're always appearing on the Salisbury Plain, or they're in Wiltshire, around all these other places, in Glastonbury. So Glastonbury was extremely powerful, by the way, and I climbed halfway to the tour, so that was an amazing thing. But the countryside in England is so beautiful, and why are they always in that southerly England, Cornwall, Wiltshire, Dorset? You know, have you any thoughts? That's my big, you know, question for the evening and curiosity is if you have any thoughts about the relationship to the ancient sites and the medieval sites that are also present there on the ley lines. They're all there.
Well, I've also read somewhere else, yes, exactly, that that Glastonbury is the current throat chakra for the planet. So it has to do with communication.
Oh, did you know what?
There's a definite portal, and it's connecting to a major meridian in the planet. So it's like it's imminent. I mean, we have to believe this. And also, we know what you were saying a few minutes ago. Well, all these sacred places and the temples are built on this grid. There's a planetary grid for all these sacred places. So, yes, I mean, many of the sacred places are showing not only the crop circles, but the stone formations. We have formations in the sand, like in Nazca in Peru and so forth. They're all related. These are all symbols. It's all the same phenomenon, just in different manifestations. So why don't we go in?
Interesting point.
Yes.
If I may say something here, it sparked an interesting thing that happened to me in Glastonbury, where I wasn't doing a whole lot of channeling and I was just connecting to the energy, although I did a lot of channeling at Avebury because I met a lady was dressed like a medieval witch, and she was fascinating, and she held a talking stick, and she said, "What is the stick saying?" And I was able to tell her what the stick was saying. That's a first for me. So, but in Glastonbury, you mentioned that being the throat of the divine feminine, and actually I met up with Joanna Prentice, a frequent guest on my program, who writes books on Mary Magdalene, and she sang the whole time in the language of light, and then I decoded her messages, which I believe were in ancient Aramaic, and then I also channeled Princess Diana, Mother Mary, and Mary Magdalene at the Chalice Well. Unfortunately, my phone had died at that time, and my friend had gone off walking on the tour. But it is the voice. You're quite right. You're really right on about your insights about the energy points of these ley lines, the sacred sites of the Chalice Well. By the way, I also brought back another bottle of that magic Glastonbury well water, which I make into rose anointing oil for our retreat, so I'll have to make some for any of our listeners. But go back to that, those sacred energies again, and add to expand upon the relationship to the holy sites, you know, because the pilgrims were always going, 1,000 years ago, pilgrims were going to these holy sites, and I felt like I was on holy pilgrimage the whole time in England,
right,
in southern England.
It's so powerful. I was there in 2015. It was, I mean, well, Stonehenge we know is more masculine energy. Avebury is
more
is
a
the
solar
feminine
temple, yeah, which
yes,
is masculine.
And, but yes, masculine. They're just. I mean, it's like you either don't want to leave or you want to go back, just like Machu Picchu. The energy is so powerful. It's such a gift to have been there. I realized that.
At Machu Picchu too. Wasn't it wonderful? But you feel it's more of a solar temple there at Machu Picchu as well.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't thought about that to describe it. There is just all
place
these places
power,
are
sure.
so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're racing for time. So I want to go into the one that you were so close to seeing, Marcia, that appeared May 24th in the southern tip southern west tip of England, close to Mount Michael. This beautiful
Mount
formation
Saint Michael.
That looks, it's actually looks like a bird or a plane, or you know, we'll talk about
it
in a minute.
It's a plane, you know, it's in the crops.
It's,
yeah.
So this one was kind of unusual, and it appeared for our listeners at Venton Park near Marazion in Cornwall.
Marazion, exactly.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the crop circle map that you sent me in the email. Mm-hmm. It's an ancient map. It's called St. Michael Alignment, and shows the St. Michael ley lines with the Mary ley lines. And they crisscross at Marazion at the tip of the of Cornwall,
right,
at the end of the sea there, and it's a magnificent place. I mean, St. Michael's Mount is an old abbey dedicated to St. Michael. I'm very dedicated.
I'm a little jealous.
Oh,
I didn't get there, but it was. Happy you went. It was. I can't even imagine being.
You know, wow. I have to tell you that on the way down, when I was driving down with my friend, I kept saying to her, I feel this magnetic pull, and I'm in this joy and this space of bliss. Mm. And I just felt, as we got closer and closer to our friend's place and near Marazion, we were, you know, coming into this sacred energy that was just like magnetic. And when I looked at your map that you sent me, after you sent me that map, I realized that we were following the A30 highway, mm-hmm, which was in England. It's a two-lane, they call it a double carriageway over there, cute name for a highway. So we were following that, and it wasn't necessarily a back road, but it was the shortest shortcut, and it went through Avebury and Bath and all the
right,
places
yes,
that we've been
yes,
before.
That's why I sent you this map before. I sent you this map before you traveled, because I was floored too when I was in England. We were actually dowsing the two ley lines at Avebury. We were shown the difference.
Oh, were you?
The masculine
I knew
and feminine.
There was a power center at Avebury, because I was channeling there too. Yeah.
So how about I read what Archangel Michael told you just yesterday on this beautiful formation?
Oh, I'll be glad to read it, but
okay.
I don't think we're quite out of time yet, Catherine.
No, but
I
want, let's read it first, because if we have time, then I'll go into this other one that I call the Broadcaster Tower, which appeared in August, which is also very interesting. But I want to definitely talk about this one in Cornwall.
Catherine, we have 2 minutes, so I think it's time to read the selection
of
my message from Archangel Michael now.
Yes.
And get to wrapping up the show and giving out your information once more. So I asked Archangel Michael to give a message on the ley lines, the Stonehenges, and the sacred sites, as well as the crop circles, because they're all related to the ley lines and the crop circles. And so, anyway, this is a shortened version of what Archangel Michael gave me. And he says, continuing then to address your question, it is I, Archangel Michael. The ancients always knew about the ley lines and tended to build their stone circles around powerful energy spots which could be felt in the human auric field. Think of a ley line as a point of a meridian point of the grid of the earth. There are many grids and ley lines present in southern England, all the way from one tip to the other. And as you were traveling down toward Marazion, you were feeling and following the Michael ley line, laying the magnetic pull to Marazion and St. Michael's Mount. When you reached the end point of St. Michael's Mount, you felt the bliss of the Mary line intersecting the Michael line. Moving on then to your direct question about the relationship of the crop circles to the ley lines, the early Stonehenges, you can see that they're all based on sacred geometry and on the movement of the stars in many cases. The magnificent creations of the sacred geometry that do manifest in the fields, referring to the crop circles, of course, are from both angelic and galactic fifth-dimensional collective beings of light. Some would call them Pleiadian, some would call them Arcturian, some would call them Elohim or the Ra group. The mystery of the creation is imprinted in a single grain of sand, as well as in the pictures of the Milky Way galaxy. And intermittently, we have here visitors from off-planet and collective cloud of vastly phenomenal intelligence, which do create and generate the geometric perfection of the pi ratio and the patterns of unspeakable beauty and symbolism. Each person should look to the various crop circles to determine the genuineness of them and the message from the, for themselves. In the case of the airplane or the bird-shaped crop circle near Cornwall, delivered May the 4th to a place very near St. Michael's Mount, of course these visitors were busily creating a type of ship, and I would say to you to look that up on Crop Circle Connector. Marcia feels that it represents a jet and travels of the light workers to the sacred sites and pilgrimage being made to England in all her holy sites. I confirmed that I was present with Marcia on the entire trip, and I was with her friends as well. I'm present this evening, anchoring my light and energy for this program and shedding light on the program as well as this world. We look forward to the grandest event of all, which is the Ascension, which is to be in the next few years. There will be many more signs embedded in your crop circles, and we encourage all light workers to pray for one another's safety as we travel to the various sacred sites and meridian points of the sacred earth before Ascension. I leave you in peace and blessings, and I ask all to pray for world peace at this time of tension and storms. A lot more is detailed in Marcia's book with called Ascension Teachings with Archangel Michael, and we ask you to pray for peace in the brewing situation with North and South Korea. And we, of the angelic realm and the Galactic Federation of Light, will do all we can to prevent a catastrophe to Earth at this time. We thank all our listeners. And I am Archangel Michael, and I bid you peace. Catherine, before we close out, please give your website and how to reach you and the title of the book and how we can get a hold of it.
My book is earthexpressions.net, and you could reach me at Kathy@lightattuned.com. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Catherine, for being a guest on the show, and we hope you'll come back and tell us much more, because I know there was much more to cover than the short conversation we had, but it was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
And Thank you so much.
Blessings to all our audience, and we will close out with Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray, and the music is channeled by the Half Beats, John Lennon, and George Harrison. We'll see you in 2 weeks to talk about another England phenomenon that I met over there, and we'll see you later. Join us in 2 weeks at 6 p.m. Central on the Peaceful Planet, 4 p.m. Pacific. And good night and blessings to all. Bless you, Catherine.
Thank you
for your excellent work. Good night now.
Good night. Bye-bye.